Welcome to the gospel meeting. I'd like to begin our meeting with hymn number 18. God loved the world so tenderly, his only son he gave, that all who on his name believe, its wondrous power will save. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can someone raise that, please?
God loved the world so tenderly, his only son he gave, that all who love his name
invitation. What a contrast with perish, passing, eternally ruined into a sinner's hell. Perish. Whosoever will. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for another gospel meeting. We thank Thee for the glad tidings. We thank Thee. We have such a wonderful story to tell, a story of Thy love, Thy story of Thy compassion, a story of Thy salvation, Thy redeeming work. We thank Thee, our God and Father, that we're Thy creatures. We've been created by Thee. And now the invitation to all, whosoever will, may come to be redeemed by Thee. We pray Thy blessing on Thy word tonight. And we pray for every soul in the room tonight, each one of us, those that are Thine to be encouraged, those that are yet in their sins, that they might realize it, awaken to it, and see that there is a remedy, a blessed remedy. Thy Son, the Lord Jesus, has shed His precious blood to cleanse from all sin. We bless Thee and thank Thee for this time together, our Father, and we pray Thy blessing in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look at Romans 3 and verse 23, a common verse that we like to place. You know, and I've shared this story, pardon me if you've heard it before, but there was an art contest, and the subject of the contest was peace. And there were all sorts of submissions to that art contest. There were scenes where there were beautiful meadows, rolling hills, and birds that were flying, and flowers that were blooming, and there was things that were very peaceful in those various scenes that were submitted in that art contest, but they didn't win. Then what was submitted was this dark scene, where there was obviously a storm that was passing over in a night. And there in the midst of that scene, there was seen lightning that was lighting up a little cleft in the rock. And there in that cleft was a little bird that had her little ones there. In the midst of that storm, in the midst of that awful black scene, a place of safety and peace. You know, I like to liken that to the gospel. You know, the consequence of hell is a serious and dark thing. Our God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. But those that reject that God will spend an eternity in darkness. Solemn. But in that dark scene, there's a picture of light and blessing and safety. And it's through the side of our blessed Savior that flowed out the blood and water, the blood that atones for our sins, the water that cleanses. And it's available to you, dear friend, tonight. There's a Savior on high in the glory, a Savior that's willing to save now as ever. He wants to save you, dear friend. He wants to save you from the consequences of your sin. Romans 3, 23 says, all have sinned. That is every soul. You know, sometimes we judge our condition on the basis of looking upon others. And we think of ourselves and we say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm a pretty good old guy compared to so-and-so. But God sees on the basis of His perfect light and holiness. And God sees you, dear friend. You know, you ever go out in the yard and you see a rock and you pull that rock over, or maybe a stone that you want to move, you pull that stone over, and all these bugs flee. While they were in the darkness, they carried on. But when the light revealed what they were about, they scrambled. You know, the light of God's word is shining today in this scene. And men love darkness rather than light. Men would not have the Savior. But He's a God who has love and compassion. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You cannot approach his righteousness in your own doings, in your own work. Cain brought that which he had done to God, and his offering was not accepted. Abel brought that which spoke of Christ. He brought a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, the death of a substitute, as it were, and he presented that to God. And God, no doubt, thought of his own beloved Son, whom in a future day he would send. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Again, a dark picture, a dark outline. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's being offered to you. It's being held out to you. What are you going to do with it? All you need, you know, for that transaction to be complete, when a gift is offered, you need to receive it. Bow your heart right now before a holy God and tell him what he already knows, that you are a sinner, that you believe his word. You believe that he has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for you, to take your place as your substitute, to bear the awful punishment of a holy and righteous God against sin, your sin. See that your sin were placed on the Lord Jesus during those 3 hours of darkness. See that he bore them. And God has exhausted all his wrath against your sin. And so now you can rejoice and you can say that Jesus died for me. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see the love of God. You see the compassion of God that he has for you. He loves you and would have you to know that he loves you. God is interested in you. I had a text one time on our dining room wall, and I had the thought that God was present at every meal, a present guest. And one I loved said to me, "Well, that's like Big Brother watching you." And I thought of that, and I thought, no. It's loving Father that is interested in me. He's interested in everything about me. You know, our God loves us. Our God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. And you know, God is interested in you. The very reason you're here tonight is because God is interested in you. You know, in the parables of Luke 15, you have three parables there. You have the shepherd, you have the woman, you have the father. They're all interested in that which they had lost. They're all interested. Isn't that a picture to us? Isn't that bringing before us the heart of the Godhead, the Son, the shepherd? Interested in you. And he will not rest until you're recovered. And you're brought home, all the way home. He's an all the way home Savior. The woman, the Spirit of God, working behind the scenes, quietly, working, sweeping, revealing your need, revealing the value. You're a thing of value to God. We look at reality that we're lost and undone. We're ruined. But God wants to recover you. God wants you to know that his gospel is good news, glad tidings, that he would have you to be rested in your path of sin and folly. He would have you to realize that he not only created you and has his creator rights over you, but he has now redeemed you, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. How wonderful, the blood of Christ. That cleanses from not some sin, but all sin. You know, sometimes we don't realize what a sinner we are. But when that light shined on those bugs as they fled, They didn't like the light. And sometimes when we get into the presence of God and we haven't dealt with these matters, we feel uncomfortable. We feel uncomfortable because we haven't completed the transaction. We haven't received this gift of life, this gift of love from a God who is holy, a God who is righteous. And how could a holy and righteous God forgive you, a sinner? Because he could righteously forgive you because he judged his son for your sin. If you'll have him, he bore the sin of many. It doesn't say all. The invitation is whosoever will may come. How about you? Will you come? Again, right now, bow your heart before God and own what you are, that you're a sinner before a holy God. He knows it. Just be honest with him. Tell him what he already knows. Confess it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I know a man that went to a meeting one time where Christians came together to hear of a popular author. And at the end of that presentation, there was an invitation to receive Christ. And that man acted. Now there was a walking to a room. That's not needed, but that's what happened. The man walked to that room. Another man prayed with him. Another doesn't have to pray with you. Right where you are, right now, you can pray. God hears you. But that man prayed with him. And that man confessed that he was a sinner. And he asked the Lord to save him. And he went out of that room, and he felt so clean. No one had to tell him to give up his habits. No one had to tell him to give up those things that were dishonoring to a holy God. God wants to save you. You don't have to do another thing but to receive this offer. God will do the rest. He's a God that's interested in you. The Father was interested in that prodigal. The Father is interested in you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are interested in you tonight. They want you to receive this invitation to come to him. Mark chapter 1. You know, the scripture brings before us those that are in their sins in various ways and applications, and sometimes the evangelist takes liberty. And we have that liberty to make application to the scriptures. But I just enjoyed Mark 1 and verse 40. There came a leper to him. Here, this leper. Just think of what a leper was. A leper wasn't allowed to be among and mix among people. Wasn't allowed to come under the contact of anyone. Don't know how long this person had been a leper, but he was a leper. Didn't know what it was to feel a human touch for quite a while. Don't know how long. Imagine that. And feeling apart, separated from his family, a leper. Picture of sin, leprosy, terrible disease. Sin is terrible. Sin, you realize before God, as the light shines of his holy word upon you, you're a sinner. You need to be cleansed. You need to have your sins forgiven. There's a Savior that's waiting for you, a Savior that wants you to come right now and to confess your sin. That leper wandering. And he says, you can almost hear him say timidly, beseeching him, kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Oh, and he waited. I mean, I don't know how long he waited, maybe moments, but his heart as he asks that question, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. I tell you, you don't need to pause. God wills. God has compassion. And he says, and as soon as he had spoken, well, in verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion. That's what we're talking about, a God who has compassion, a God who is interested in you, a God who has lost you and has made a way to redeem you to himself through the work of the Lord Jesus. He had compassion on him and put forth his hand and touched him. How could he do that? Touch a leper? This is the Holy Son of God. That touch goes forth, that leprosy had to vanish. The leprosy had to leave. And he saith to him, I will. Oh, what that heart was as that leper stood before him. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I will. And he touched him. The thought, too, of that touch is he handled him freely. I don't know what he did. Perhaps he put his arm around him. Think of that leper not having a human touch, not knowing what it was to have contact. And the Savior, the blessed Creator, and the blessed Redeemer putting his arm around him and telling him that he willed that he be clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed and he was cleansed, and straightway charged him and forthwith sent him away. Hallelujah. Compassion, the compassion of our living, our God. Luke chapter 10. Don't want to read the whole parable, or not the whole story, but I want to talk about the despised one, the Samaritan. Verse 33, as he journeyed, came where he was, this one that had been the victim of robbers and thieves that left him half dead. What does it say? As he journeyed, you know, the blessed Savior is looking and journeying throughout this scene. He's journeying for those that have a need and those that are realized they're half dead. They're in their sins. They need the healing and the cleansing from their sins. He says, as he journeyed, came where he was. You know, tonight, God has come where you are. Where you are right now, this moment, God has come. The Lord Jesus has come. And it says, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Isn't that wonderful? We have a God who has compassion on us. He came where we were. Mark chapter 5. In verse 1, and they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? God, I adjure thee, by God, that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there a high priest, and I'm sorry, now there was nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding, and on all the devils, or the unclean spirits, besought him, saying, Send us unto the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and a herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. What a picture. You know, I one time sold a car to a man, and I gave him a gospel tract. And I told the man, I mentioned to him, I said, you know, all have sinned. You know, we think of a sinner sometimes, we think of somebody on Skid Row, somebody that's down and out, someone like this man here. But when we think of someone that's educated or someone that's in a high position, has a nice job, nice place in society, it's hard for them to realize that they are a sinner. And the man said to me very honestly, he said, yeah, I can't see myself that way. I can't see myself as a sinner. You know, when we judge one another based upon, judge ourselves based upon one another, we may get a pass. Okay. But God doesn't judge that way. He is perfectly holy. He is perfectly righteous. But now the other side, we can see those that is obvious, that are cutting themselves. It says, he was in among the tombs, among the sphere of death. And he had his dwelling among the tombs. He couldn't be bound. You might say, well, that's not right. You should be doing this. You should do that. He's not bound by that. You may have rules that you put. We may have rules that in this world. You know, this world is getting darker. And they're calling good evil. And they're calling evil good. This world is dark. It's a dark scene. But there can be light in our dwellings. But here this one cutting himself among the tombs. And none could tame him. No one can tame him. You know, tell a story about two women at my work. I'm not going to give you the real names, and I'm going to mention two men later. I'm not going to give you their real names. I'm going to call one Christy. Christy, before that, talk about a gal named Kay. I'm going to talk about three sisters. They're sisters in the Lord now. Kay was a woman who had a good marriage, but then things started going sour. And she decided that her good marriage wasn't as good as it should be. And so she separated from her husband. And she said to me, she told me, one time we were coming up I was going down the stairs and she was coming up the steps, public steps at a large agency, government agency. And she stopped right in the middle with tears coming down her eyes. She said, I love him. I love the Lord Jesus. I was such a bad woman, but he saved me. How could you even answer that? Christy told me, she said, I'd been an addict. She was highly educated, master's degree in finance, highly educated, well-positioned at her work. She says, I was a heroin addict. Another girl, Jessie. I was 15, dabbling with drugs, alcohol. I had my first child. But the common thread with all three of these women, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Two men, cutting themselves with stones, raised in the assembly. two men. One lived for 20, 30 years on the streets, an alcoholic. His life ruined. His health failing. He got saved. He's going on for the Lord. Another man, raised in the assembly. Similar thing. It's not worth it. They're tombs. It's a sphere of death. You've been brought up in the sphere of life. Don't dabble. Don't dabble with, you think that you can take it up a little bit and then leave it. You know, your conscience becomes seared at that little thing, and then something else a little bit worse comes up. And then your conscience is seared on that, a little bit worse. Keep your conscience tender. You've been raised in a Christian home. You can't escape if you take up and dabble with those things. And you won't be able to break your own fetters, let alone others breaking those chains and fetters of habits. But our God is a God of restoration, of God of forgiveness. So if you're honest before Him, and you tell Him, and you know, there are years that the locust hath eaten. Some of us know what scars are. You know, we can learn by testimony, or we can learn by practice, experience. Which way do you want to learn? Do you want to listen when someone says, don't touch that fire? Or that you want to try it yourself? And you may not be recovered like these friends, these two men have been recovered. These three women have been saved. You know, God is not holding back anything good from you. You know, that's a lie of the enemy. There in the garden, from the very beginning, the liar, he says, he puts a question mark in your brain. He says, has God said, in the day that ye eat thereof, you shall become as gods? Half-truth. You shall know good and evil. True. But he didn't tell you. You're not going to have any ability because you're lost to do good. And your bent will be to do evil. The question mark, God is good. God is good, and he has offered a salvation. And you know, the privilege that we have as saints of God is to hear what his testimony is to us, to listen to him, to be obedient to him, to realize that he has not only saved us from a judgment that is terrible, but he has given us new life in Christ. He's given us new power, the Spirit of God, that enables us to do what he's asked us to do. We're not left to our own charge. We're brought into the sphere of blessing and relationship. The assembly is a precious thing. Nurture your enjoyment of the things of God. Nurture fellowship with the saints of God. Companions are so important. Companions, let me say that again. Companions are so important. Do you have companions that have a heart for pleasing the Lord? I mean even Christian companions. Are they companions that are stirring you up in your path of faith? So important. Are you a companion that is stirring up the path of faith in your brother or your sister? So vital. You know, what Satan whispers, God is holding back something from you. This path of Christianity is a path that God is holding back good from you. He knows that if you do such and such, it's going to be good for you. God is not holding back anything. The true life, the true enjoyment is through a soul that's in communion with a God who made them. You know, it's been said, our heart is too big for the world. The world can't satisfy our hearts, but Christ can. Christ can satisfy our hearts. Let's look at Matthew 1. I thought of this as I was asking the Lord what I should take up. And I just enjoyed this some time ago, the women of the genealogy. And the story that they tell. And the women of the genealogy in Matthew 1, I won't read all of the genealogy of Christ, but in you have the first woman mentioned is Tamar. And you get a sad story in Genesis 38 of Tamar and of her father-in-law, Judah. And it's a story of sin. But Judah has to confess, thou art more righteous than I. And that's the story of man. It has begun with sin. But immediately God works. You know, when Adam and Eve had sinned, God provided those coverings of animals, the death of a substitute, a blood shedding of a substitute that they could bear, wear as clothing. Sin and righteousness. The next woman mentioned is Rahab. And Rahab was a harlot. But what does it say of Rahab in Hebrews 11? A woman of faith. You know, and I've enjoyed Rahab, who was married by Solomon, that Solomon probably never called her my wife, the harlot. He called her my wife, my beloved. You know, we know what we are. We're sinners. But God doesn't call us that. He calls us saints of God. What grace, what love. We don't forget. Rahab never forgot what she was. We don't forget what we were. But we're in the presence of our Solomon, presence of one who loved us. And then so faith. And then you have Ruth. Now Ruth was a Moabite, and a Moabite was not to come into the congregation until the 10th generation. How was she able to come in there? Grace. Sin. Righteousness, faith, grace. Then you have the next one mentioned, although not by name, the wife of Hur that had been the wife of Urias, the Hittite. Look at Song of Solomon. Hold your finger there. Look at Song of Solomon. I'm sorry, Proverbs 31. And I can't be dogmatic on this, but I've enjoyed this thought. Another gave to me years ago. That Solomon's name, the Lord called him Jedidiah, loved of the Lord. And but Bathsheba, if thought, just to suggest this, that she called him King Lemuel. Pet name, suggestion. The prophecy that his mother taught him, what my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Bathsheba, after she was complicit in that act of adultery with David, there was repentance, I would suggest. What the son of my vow, womb, and the son, what the son of my vows, give not thy strength unto women. Repentance gives counsel. Give not thy strength to women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. So it may have been, this was Bathsheba, may have been Bathsheba saying to her son, don't do like I did. Don't allow this to happen to you. Repentance. Sin, righteousness, faith, grace, repentance. Isn't this the story of our lives? And you get another woman of the genealogy, a woman named Mary. You know, Mary was specially a vessel prepared and used of the Lord, a vessel of righteousness, practical righteousness. It says of her and Joseph along that line. You know, the Lord can use us who have scars. The Lord doesn't want you to have scars. The Lord wants you to have an ear to hear his invitation to come. He wants you to have ear to hear the Lord call you and desire that you walk in the path of faith and faithfulness your whole course. Don't allow a thought that you can dabble in this world and come out unscathed. You cannot. Our God is a God, a Savior God. And he's a God that delights to give you all things that pertain unto life and to godliness, to equip you to be the saint of God that he has in mind for you to be. But what a story. In the midst of a scene of sin, that there is a righteous God who is working and giving by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that grace that calls you out of darkness into light and would give you to walk in repentance where there's need and give you to enjoy a path that is honoring to our God. Number 21.
Yeah.
a contact with Christ. Legion responded correctly. And he was there seen seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus in one of the other Gospels. Sensible in his right mind. But what happened to the unclean spirits? They were allowed to go into a herd of swine and went down the precipice into the sea. Look at those two things. Two alternatives. The invitation to receive Christ, to be sensible, to be in your right mind, to be clothed with the garments of salvation, to be at his feet, learning from him. Or to follow the rest of this world in their course, downward course, into a lost eternity. Which will it be? Our God and Father, we pray for the soul that thou art dealing with tonight. We pray that they would release their will to thee, not to some other. That they would say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I thank thee for saving me. Thank thee for that precious blood, Lord Jesus, that cleanses me from all sin. We pray thy blessing on thy word, our Father, both in this room and wherever it goes forth. We pray, we thank thee, our Father, for sending thy Son. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, that thou art our Creator and thou art the lover of our soul, our Savior. We bless thee and thank thee for thy word in thy precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.